McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the mighty Falkirk Bairns. I am your host, John McAnally, suffering from a hangover after being in hospitality on Saturday still. And this week, like James Brown, I feel good. We're going to win the league, Ross. I don't know who was saying this podcast last week we're going to lose it. We're winning the league now. No worries. That, of course, is Mr. Ross Wayne right there. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, mate. Very well. I was not so well yesterday. I won't lie to you. I was a wee bit rough yesterday.
We had the pleasure of being in hospitality on Saturday. Great day. Had first time we were saying the hoodoo. We've been in hospitality a few times. I think that's the first time in 10 years we've actually seen Falkirk win a game while being in hospitality. What a difference.
It's official. We're not the Jinxies anymore. There's a few who weren't there on Saturday and... it's obviously one of them that's the jinx. But no, it was a good day, good night as well. A wee bit messy. But as you said, massive 3 points and we're feeling good, as you said.
No, I left. In Infinite Wisdom, I thought I'll drive the car up to the stadium. I'll leave it there overnight. I'll go and pick up the next skin day. That'll be no bother. So I was feeling rough on the Sunday, but I thought, right, I've got nice big long dog walk up from Larbour, up to the stadium, hour and 40 minutes or whatever, you know, lovely up through the Kelpies, beautiful walk, so Langways and all that. And then I approached the stadium and went, Christ, the car park's pretty busy today, didn't you? The Helix was that busy. Then when I got closer and closer, I realised a car boot sale had formed around my parked car in the stadium. So I was like, oh, shit. So the car's in the middle of this car boot sale and I'm just like walking in with a dog, just hungover, absolutely hanging. I'm just like, what am I going to do here?
So were you like, getting daggers, were you?
Oh God, was I getting daggers. So the ad's obviously stolen someone's pitch site as well, Ross. So the stall next to me said, oh, the steward was looking for you. He says, go and find them when you get in because you're not going to be able to get your car out. So I went, all right, okay, I'm in trouble here. Went and looked for the steward, couldn't find him. Oh well, here we go. It was like that, right here, I'm going out. First of all, the guy next to me who had a Star Wars memorabilia sort of, he would block me in, so I couldn't get in my passenger door. I said, mate, could you move your table? No, I can't move my table. That was it, shut down. I went, all right, mate, cheers, thanks for that. So then, I had to jump in the passenger side, into the car, had to, you know, my mirrors folded in. I had to fold them in mirrors not to knock down his stormtroopers, right? Then it was like, remember that scene in Austin Powers where he's like doing that 100-point turn? It was like that. Try to get out of the car park. I had an old woman in front of me guide me. I had an old woman in front of me guide. It was chaos. Absolutely. And then no one was giving absolutely anything about me. Everyone was just still walking about the car like it was, and I'm trying to do this 100-point turn, sweat pouring off me, hanging, the dogs in the back looking at me going, what the hell is going on here? And then I was like, right, just, I'm going across the grass, I'm not doing it, I'm straight across the grass. And now
the grass in between like the bricks, isn't
it? I couldn't fit through that. So that was my Sunday, and what a way to kick off Sunday it was. Jesus. But listen, we were feeling good after the win, which was brilliant. Again, Bairns Business Club sponsored the show last week. We were in hospitality with them. 15,000 handed over to the club on Saturday, Ross, which was a great achievement.
Brilliant amount of money. Every little helps, as we've been saying since the directors came on a few weeks ago. £15,000 check. That's not from Saturday, obviously. That is on top of a sold out hospitality, which is brilliant as well. So yeah, there was just under 100 in the Brockville Lounge. So as well as filling hospitality on Saturday, which is no mean feat in this current climate, to hand over a big check was superb as well. And I'm sure it's all going towards, well, we know what it's going towards. It's going towards, can I try to get this club out of this financial situation, and hopefully in some small way will maybe help John McGlynn get some money in January as well. You never know.
Well, I hope so. Listen, before we continue and get into the games and what have you, I feel like it's like George Bowie and the GBX. We've got a couple of shout-outs to do. First of all, hello to Stevie Gibson. He says, Geezer mentioned for the first win of the season for the FFIT. Team, they playing for the Falkirk Foundation. That's the fans. You've been involved with this, haven't you, at some point? The FFIT, hey, the fans football.
Years ago. Yes, it was. It was maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. It was good. The SPFL, basically, and
you fund it, yeah.
Football clubs, yeah, and it's like just a bunch of guys who want to try and get a wee bit fitter. Do a bit of football coaching. It's not just that. There's a lot of sort of mental health side of it as well, which is brilliant. The SPFL sponsored it. I know the Chris Mitchell Foundation's involved it as well. And I think this all started, but maybe 5 to 10 years ago, and these guys have kept it going. So fair play to them. Yeah.
It's football fans and training. It's basically, like Ross says, league designed for overweight guys and people with mental health issues. And they play in the Warriors Premier League, and they got their Falkirk got their first win of the season there. So well done to Stevie and the rest of the boys. Listen, if you want to get involved, he's sent us a link as well. It's spfltrust.org.uk/FFIT. spfltrust.org.uk/FFIT. We'll put the links up on our socials so you can check that out. Stevie leaves us with a fact. In the second half, our back four and goalkeepers were a combined age of 275.
That's a fair age, isn't it? That is a fair age.
That sounds like, remember that time Yogi brought in Matt Namara and Bullen and all that, and Presley? That was probably our combined age at that time as well.
The dad's army.
Aye, so well done to Stevie and the boys down there. Also, shout out, we met this young lad in hospitality on Saturday, Harrison Douglas, who goes to Kinnear Primaries in P4 there. His favourite player is Callum Morrison. We were sat next to him and his dad, and they were lucky enough to win the raffle, and he got a pair of Paul Watson signed boots. Needless to say, they were untouched.
Unworn. But you know what? Harrison was a great wee guy. And hospitality was brilliant on Saturday. But how good is it when you see young guys like that loving everything to do with a football club? Do you know, I know we moan a lot about games and stuff, but see, when you're that age, the players are absolute heroes, aren't they? And it's just amazing to see. So, no, yeah, big shout out to wee Harrison.
Absolutely. Right, well, it's not much news, Ross, to really get in. I think when we get closer to January, then we can start getting the rumour speculation who's turning up at Benny T's. That's where we're going to get interesting. But just on the news front, shout out to the women's team who beat Giffnock 4-0, and they're kind of back into the promotion race as a result. Goals coming in the game from Susan Wyatt. She got 2, Iona Bridges got 1, and Eva Rule got the 4. So it's 4-0 to the Bairns against Giffnock. So next home league game is against Dundee West up at Stadium. So yeah, best of luck to the girls, and fingers crossed they can get themselves back into that promotion race, as you say. I guess the only other news, Ross, is to discuss is just a couple of managerial changes in the division. Not obviously necessarily for Falkirk, but we saw Jim Duffy coming in at Clyde. They got a manager, and we'll talk about that a bit later on, and got the draw against Dunfermline there. And then today, just announced, Jim McAnally's walked away from Peterhead.
Yeah, Davey Nicholls, ex-Bairn, I think, has been given the job, apparently. So, he's been there such a long time.
11 years, longest serving manager in the SPFL. Who is it now, though, Ross? Here's the trick question. Who is the longest serving manager now?
Across all the divisions. I'm going to take a punt, and I might be wrong. Dick Campbell?
Spot on, mate. Well done.
Dick Campbell.
Well done, Dick Campbell.
I was thinking it was going to be one of the old.
Yeah. I'm right in saying that Peterhead are playing Dunfermline at the weekend as well, I believe.
Yes. So a little new manager. You know,
an RE manager bounced in with you, is all right, eh?
That would be beautiful. That would be absolutely beautiful.
I want you to go, Davey.
Needless to say, all the very best to ex-Bairn, once a Bairn.
I know.
We'll
get into the Coy game, but hopefully, you know, they got their Coy got their manager bounce on Saturday against their Fermor, and we'll win on Saturday, but we'll get into that later on.
I've got the Supporter Society.
What's going on?
Yeah, we've got a wee bit of an update just before we recorded tonight. So, as we know, at the end of last month, we did the draw for October for the Supporter Society's monthly draw. So Boardroom Hospitality, there was the bucket of beer, courtesy of ourselves, yeah, and there was our afternoon tea donated to the Supporter Society as well by the Red Bus Bistro, which was amazing. This month, a couple of weeks' time, so there's a bit of notice, there's going to be a bit of an advertising scheme going out by the Supporter Society in the next couple of days, but just a wee bit of breaking news. So as per last month, Boardroom Hospitality for two will remain in there. We've got the bucket of beer courtesy of ourselves in the Brockville Bar as well. However, courtesy of the Crunchy Initiative, aka Mr. Dave McAnally, who you do know.
I know quite well, yeah.
We have a Kevin McAllister signed programme from the match in June. And there's also three prints that go along with it as well the Holy Trinity. So that's a really nice offer from Dave and the Crunchy Initiative. And last but not least, again, from the Crunchy Initiative, from a previous sponsorship, we have a signed captain's armband. So that's a nice wee memento that they don't have too many of given out over the year. So that's the four prizes. And as we did last month, the last draw of November, we'll be doing the honours for the Supporter Society again with the draw.
Yeah, and if you want to get signed and get involved in that draw, falkirksupporters.org, get signed up to the FSS now, you can get in that draw, and obviously all the money that you put towards on a monthly basis goes into the club as we they snap up shares, and you know, we've come the third leg in the stool, is this kind of that's the plan anyway. So get signed up now and head to all the details at falkirksupporters.org. Right, let's get into the game. And every week on Falkirk Daft, I like to invite a guest pundit on because you get sick and tired of hearing me and Ross. So let's welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's Josh Heggie.
Hi guys, how we doing?
Very well, Josh, very well. And I've just noticed, I see you're sporting a shirt behind the door as well.
Love it.
I'm starting a trend here, John.
I know people must be watching this on YouTube. I've got to be like Ross and hang up a strip. And I'm gonna have to do it next week. I've got the bold, if you're watching the YouTube version, the bold Leon McCann giving it big licks after his worldie on Saturday, which we'll definitely be talking about in a minute. Yeah. Josh, tell us about yourself. Why Falkirk supporter for how long?
Obviously brought up Falkirk family, so my first game was the first game in the stadium.
Oh wow!
Yeah, 5 year old, a 4 year old actually, going at the friendly against, I think it was Dundee.
Aye.
And I remember I actually missed the goal because I was away getting a hot dog. and then, you know, just going to games every so often, and then after badgering my dad, got my first season ticket, 7 year old, and been going ever since.
Amazing.
So, who was the first person to score in the Falkirk Stadium, Ross Wayne?
Oh, John McAnally.
It was a Dundee player, wasn't it?
Do you know, you've got me. I would need to go and check.
I've got to have to Google. I'm trying.
We did get beat, didn't we?
Josh, can you remember going back to your 4 year old self?
I'm sure it was 1-0 to Dundee. But I couldn't tell you who's going.
We'll need to check that
right,
one.
Well, but, answers on a postcard, please, ladies and gentlemen. That would be brilliant. Right, so Josh, younger supporter, so yeah, I guess you would have missed out on the Holy Trinity. So it's always interesting to get a younger supporter's...
I remember a little bit of Lappy.
He's
the one that can kind of remember, but missed the other two, sadly.
Yeah, so you go on. Who's your favourite player outside of Lappy then?
So I was thinking about them. And there's three that are kind of up there similar, but I've picked. So kind of runners up were Stephen Kingsley and McGovern.
Yeah,
two runners up.
Nice. But
for me, the fun factor with the season with Farid. Just with the whole, he was great with the fans, the whole kissing the coin. I think it was 30 goals he bagged. It was such a fun season.
Yeah, it was.
And he got two in the comeback against Rangers in the cup. Was
that was a special night, that Rangers game, wasn't it? That was a cracking night, that one. It was.
Yeah. Well, definitely in the top 10 stadium moments, I would say that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was great, great. Listen, we'll get into the match, right? But first of all, I need to clarify something. An apology is basically, I was given some misinformation. We've already mentioned them for the Crunchy Initiative. My brother, David McAnally, said last week, oh, here's a great fact for you for the podcast. We've never beaten anyone above us in the league for a year and a half. All right, okay. I took it, you know, I took that. I should have done my research, but I took it as fact, right? Okay, went and... So, no, apparently it's a lot of shite. So, if you recall, Edinburgh were above us in the league when we played them the last time, but he's come back with this. He's done his research. He's come back with this reply to this before we get into the game. Since coming down in this league in 19/20, we've only won four times against teams that have been higher in the league. There you go. We've done this twice this season against Edinburgh on both occasions when we beat them in August. That was the first time we have won against a team above us since we beat Peterhead on the 7th of August 2021. To put it in some context, we have played five times against teams above us in the season so far. This is compared to 13 times. My God, he's done his research here. This is compared to 13 times last season. We topped the league most in season 21-22, so barely played anyone above us. And in 2019-2020, only occurred on four occasions. These are the teams that we've defeated in the league who have been above us since dropping down: Edinburgh, Peterhead, and Cove. So fair play.
Yeah, fair play. He's put the time in there, hasn't he?
I know. Then he finished up. A bigger stat to show our struggles is that we've only won five times in the past four seasons against teams who have occupied the top four position in the league when we've played them, the four above plus Montrose in February 2020. So, what a fact. He's done his research. Well done, David. You've had a great comeback there. But yeah. We did it again on Saturday, gentlemen. We beat someone above us in the league. So, brilliant. Falkirk 2, Edinburgh, FC Edinburgh City, whatever, FC Edinburgh, whatever they're calling themselves these days, nil, which is...
We'll beat them, whatever they're called.
I know. Big changes before we get into the game. Two big changes made. Gary Oliver came back into the side, as did an absolute... out of nowhere, Ola Lawal comes into the side, Yeats and Kennedy dropping out. Ross, we talked about it. We were surprised that, like, it was like, whoa, Ola's come out of nowhere, but obviously it paid off.
Massively. Well-deserved man of the match by Big Ola on Saturday. I thought he was outstanding for every minute he played. And obviously, I think... And I know I'm scooting forward a wee bit, but we're all a wee bit disappointed when he went off. But actually, when you listen to John McGlynn, it makes sense why he went off, because he's hardly played. And I think he'd done so much in the 70 minutes or whatever it was he played in. And he was tremendous. But yeah, came out of nowhere. I think we all looked at each other when the team lines got read out and when we were in the lounge on Saturday. And it kind of threw us, but it maybe threw Edinburgh as well.
Yeah, I think. What when you saw the team, Josh? What was your kind of initial reaction to it?
For a start, I was pleased it was changes from Dunfermline. I felt were just too static, and with Ola being a wee bit more dynamic and forward thinking. I know straight from the kickoff, actually, for the first time this season, we gave it to Ola. He just drove forward and straight from the kickoff instead of going back to the defence and playing it back. It was okay. We'll give it to Ola, and the first thing he always does is he drives forward and looks forward, which is a different kind of way of to play than we've done previously. So again, maybe trying to shape the team up, encourage them to play further forward.
Yeah,
I agree, Josh. Like that was a noticeable difference from the start, wasn't it?
Kind of set the tone for the start and kind of right. We're actually push forward to you and try and, because again against like Alloa and that, when we do start on the front foot, we can score early. Okay, we didn't Saturday, but you know, setting the tone early, and that's something we didn't do against them the week before.
Yeah, you're making calls for Hetherington to be put back in the side, Ross, weren't you, before the match?
I did, because I thought it might help McGinn. Because obviously we lost the midfield battle against Dunfermline, and I did think maybe we need to sort of tighten up a bit. Obviously, John McGlynn knows more than I do, and I'm never going to say otherwise. He knows his stuff, and it definitely worked. He talked about in his post-match interview, I think he said that they worked a lot on trying to break down that sort of heavy midfield. So they've obviously been, they've learned from the Dunfermline game and took that in, because you knew Edinburgh were going to come and probably sit in as well. Like, to be fair, they did really well against Dunfermline. They only lost the game because of a weird sort of deflection in the last minute. So they obviously had success with it at East End Park. But no, we did our homework and it definitely paid off.
Yeah, I could not for the life of me. And I sat for the first time and I go, where's Gary Oliver playing? He was like, I couldn't work out the form. I was sitting looking at it going, I would sit and try and work out the formation of where the actual Gary Oliver was playing, but I could, still don't know where he was playing today, but he ran about and he did stuff, so that was good. Yeah, it was interesting to see, actually, you know, we always like to examine the ex-Bairns on this show, and James Cragan playing like right wing-back for Edinburgh, who obviously came to just sit in for the draw. I mean, we'll hear that from John McGlynn later on, but I mean, and he did say in his interview, you know, they practiced against that low block because Edinburgh, I mean, they offered nothing, did they?
Not a lot.
No.
I think Hogarth only had one save and it was straight into his chest.
Yeah.
I think that was all he did really the whole game.
Yeah. The one thing I would say, it was very flat atmosphere. I mean, obviously we had last week, it was always going to be, you know, over 7,000 there. I just thought coming out, it was very flat to initially start with. I just feel it was like the wind was taking out the sails, wasn't it?
Yeah. And do you know, like as much as I love when we do the remembrance stuff, and I think Falkirk should get a lot of credit for it over the years, because we're one of the few clubs, I know Rangers do, but we're one of the other few clubs that actually make a bit of an effort with it. The only downside is it's really quiet pretty much whenever we do the remembrance. And it probably does need the team to then build that back up. And as Josh said, we sort of started quite bright, which probably helped, but it was noticeably down and quieter on the week before. But I suppose that was always going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, nothing much to write back about on that first half. You know, we never looked in any danger, but I mean, the chances were very few and far between in the first half. Big Col Donaldson remind me of a young John Clark. So I was stepped up for that free kick, boom. But obviously, the keeper made a save for it. But Josh, I'll educate you on who John Clark was, the centre half who used to play for Falkirk back in the day, who struck a mighty free kick. I love watching a centre half take a free kick. Liam Henderson's actually got a decent hit on him as well. But I love when a big centre half comes up and strikes a free kick. So that was the highlight of the first half for me.
Listen, it's probably, I can't remember much. I remember thinking when we went sloped back off into the Brockville Lounge at half time, thinking, it was a quick half as well. That might have been down to the alcohol before the game. It was a really, really quick first half. But
yeah, Josh is going to have to hold our hand through this game because we had a few scoops, Josh. So anything from the first half that you'd like to point out?
Well, obviously, we had the chance to the offside, which was
of course,
good run. Good run from Burrell.
So is it.
It probably was just a fraction too early, but and then obviously Cal would have finished it if the flag was down. A couple of long range shots from Big Ola, but other than that, fairly quiet.
He was the only exciting player in the first half, though, wasn't he? Ola, he gave the team that bit of just something about us, and I think they properly didn't see that coming either.
But I've got a mate who's an Edinburgh City supporter, and he messaged me going, "Who's that?" And you know, he won't be there for long, because I mean, if that's just the first glimpse I've seen of Ola, winning the ball back, getting up the field, brilliant feet, good range of passing, box to box, he was. It reminded me, I'm going to say this, oh God, I'm going to taint it now. It reminds me of a giant Latapy. I said that on Saturday. He's like a big giant Latapy.
No pressure on him then,
no pressure at all, Ola, on you. But, you know, we come out second half, we get the goal fairly early. What feat it was for the big man. You know, for a big, tall, gangly lad like he is, what about those feet for that goal? I mean, he got a deflection, fair enough, but tremendous feat.
I thought it was a special, special goal. Listen, I think it was going in anyway. I think even, and I know Robbie Much listens to the podcast because he's messaged us a couple of times and he might disagree, but I think that was going in even without the deflection.
If you hear it, Robbie, please let us know. Do you think that was going up? No, I don't think Robbie will admit that it was
going up. No, he's going to say, I would have got it.
Aye, exactly. Like Josh said, I mean, what a big difference he made in the middle of that park. Just maybe a player that we've been looking for in that middle, because, you know, we've been slightly critical of McGuffey, who was maybe in the middle of the park to do that kind of role. Nesbitt was again on Saturday. I was trying to work out where Nesbitt, he just kind of potters about the place, Nesbitt, you know.
And you know the big thing with me with Lawal though is he's so different to every other midfielder.
Yeah.
Like, and the other issue, and I don't mean to be heightist because I'm only like 5'10", but we've got a midfield of munchkins. So it's actually quite good that we've got someone in here who's a bit bigger. He's no stronger because he's quite, we saw him, didn't we? He's really quite a thin, sort of slim guy, but he's got massive height. And for the feet on him, for the height on him, his feet were brilliant.
Yeah.
It's his first touch as well that he actually, to start the move off, it was his first touch and he got crunched, he got absolutely melted and kind of played the advantage and kind of got up and just kept running. It was the touch and control and then played the pass through and took the contact, didn't he shy away from it?
No, I didn't at all.
No, you're right. Caused all sorts of troubles to Edinburgh. I mean, they didn't know how to deal with them. Callum Morrison, I want to come on to Callum Morrison. You had a chicken day on Saturday, I would say.
Wasn't he great?
I feel when he's playing with Brad McKay at right back, he doesn't play as well.
Aye.
I think because when Brad's playing at right back, he doesn't have the confidence going forward and he's very slow. And by the time he plays it out to Morrison, there's already a defender there. He plays slowed down.
I mean, it's definitely an issue.
Yates was slightly more like quick and up the play. I feel Brad just takes too long in the ball.
Josh, you've just reminded me as well. Remember Brad McKay had his nosebleed moment one-on-one with the keeper as well. He made the backside of it, didn't he? But
All he had to do was just basically walking onto the ball and he just stuck in his feet.
I know. I think you're right though. I think that's a good shout out and we're maybe doing Morrison a wee bit of a disservice. He's probably not got the same relationship with McKay that he probably had with even Yeats and Williamson, if anybody can remember what Ryan Williamson looks like.
He was spotted on Saturday. The PE teacher was there. He was got the cones out. He was spotted on the pitch, I believe, Saturday.
Was he riding a unicorn across the bog, was he?
Yep. But I believe the lesser seen Ryan Williamson was spotted on Saturday and I believe potentially could make the bench next Saturday.
So it's only been 4 months since since his last kick of the ball.
Come back is odd.
Tear something when he sits doing it.
I know. We'll get the St John's ambulance guys on standby.
I thought Calum's decision making again on Saturday was sometimes a bit questionable, but to be fair, he had a relatively quiet game. I think going back to what you're saying, Josh, is we're stronger going down the left, obviously, than we are going down the right with the fact that we're using Brad at right back. You know, because I'm sure Brad McKay will admit himself, he's not exactly that overlapping wing back.
I think Brad's great defensively.
I think he's a great aerial threat as well.
Going forward, and he never knows how to cross. And he's been a centre half. You're not really taught how to cross, but he's that extra second trying to think what to do is enough time for defenders to close him down or close the space down.
I thought. Hats off, and the two centre halves, certainly Cole Donaldson, I thought was absolute solid on Saturday. There was one instant, I think, I don't know why Liam Henderson loves to let the ball bounce, man. He loves to let the ball bounce.
He's the tallest man in the park as well.
I know!
And he just lets it bounce.
I don't know why he loves to let that ball bounce, but there was a point he made a wee bit of mistake and called Dawson was just there to mop it up, deal with it. You know, if you have defensive problems, what do you do? Exactly. Fantastic. I'm glad that's catching on. I thought, shout out to Dawson. Again, I've been so, so impressed. He's been I love a centre-half, especially a free-kicking taking centre-half. That's what we like. But I thought he's been a real unsung hero in this side, and I think he's been a big plus point. Again, I thought he just strolled that game on Saturday as well. So
massively, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go into the second goal then. Wow.
Let's start with that.
Well, we had a few by this point, Josh, I'll be honest with you, and we all thought it was Kai Kennedy because it was far away from us. We're all, what a goal for Kai Kennedy. And then he goes, goal for Leon McCann. I'm like, what was Leon? What? I mean, you would have had probably a better view of it than us, Josh. What? Talk us through that. It was just unbelievable.
He gets the kind of through ball. The angle's not there for the cross. And he doesn't force the cross. That's the first thing. He was patient. And, okay, turn back and you think, he's ran himself into trouble here. And there's two men around him. And he just somehow finds the space and loses one of them. And he just outstrengths the other one, cuts inside. And then from that point, you've just got bodies trying to block the cross. And then he just keeps cutting in. And then you think he's... because he's so left-footed during the game. What's he going to do? And he just trusts his right foot and just whirled it.
Beautiful goal, wasn't it? It was a beautiful goal.
Best of the season so far.
Better
than Williamson's.
I mean,
I would say so.
Williamson, as much as it was a great goal, there was no one really close to him. The way the angle was, though, but McCann's beat four men there.
Yeah.
Well, we have scored some good goals this season, haven't we? When you think when you look, go, Ola's diving header was a cracking.
McGrath
had a couple. I thought Nesbitt's header against Hibs was brilliant.
Morrison's opener when Allegri laid him off was a.
Oh, aye, that was a good one. Is that the Queen of the South game, isn't it?
Yeah, Queen of the South.
Yeah, we've had a couple of good goals this season. I think probably McCann has got it so far for goal of the season.
John, I know we were talking about it on Saturday night, and then I think we put a tweet out yesterday as well. Leon McCann, for me, is probably player of the season so far.
The only person I put in contention against that is Cole Donaldson. That's the only one, consistently.
Well, and McGinn, because McGinn's been really consistent as well. But
McGinn and Donaldson, I mean,
of them have been 7 out of 10 every week there've been games where they've been up in the 9 and 10s, but you're minimum 7 out of 10 for those guys.
I feel McGinn
is looking a bit tired though. I feel like the last couple of weeks he's just been that yard off it compared to the start of the season.
Is he not a new dad as well? And I don't want to put that on him, right? But did that not happen just not that
long? Yeah, it did.
So do you know what? Like, obviously, Josh, I don't know if you've got any yet, but we John and I are sitting here with a couple of kids, and we know the first
6 months is brutal. Exactly what it'll be. If he's a wee bit off the form and a wee bit yard, it'll be because he's getting up in the middle of the night to the crying Wayne. That is exactly what it'll be. Well thought of, Ross, because it is the first 6 months. It's absolutely brutal. Any new dad out there will be able to tell you that. He just does stroll a game, though.
When he's on the ball, he's fantastic. It's just kind of somebody's tracking back. It's been just not as sharp as it was kind of first 10 games.
Yeah, new dad.
I'm not trying to criticise him at all.
No, he's been great, Josh. He's been great overall. He's been great,
absolutely.
It's just because he's been playing so well that when he's maybe not quite at that sort of 8 out of 10 level, is when you're noticing it. And that's when you know he's a good player, when you're really nitpicking.
Exactly. I mean, looking at the stats for the game, 61% possession, 16 shots, 7 on target. I'm sure John McGuinn's complaint will be we're not scoring as much as we could. Obviously, we had Henderson with the header at the end there coming off the bar as well. But when you look at 16 shots, 7 of those on target, and we're only walking away with 2 goals, you'd hope we'd be a wee bit more coming back from that.
Yeah. No, I do. Well, we had chances on Saturday, and it could have been. You knew Robbie was going to. You knew Robbie Much was going to be trying like a bear as well, because it's. He obviously got a wee, bit of stick at the first game from a section of the crowd, and I actually, probably due to the alcohol, I didn't actually notice if he got any stick on Saturday, he might have done. But Robbie was always going to come back.
This one in the first half, did you know? Like a kick. I'm pretty sure
John, you know about dodgy kickouts. Was there a dodgy kickout?
there was at one point, but yeah, that's
because I remember saying to my dad, was just like, is that the closest we've come to scoring? Was Robbie Much carrying it off Burrell?
But I mean, what do we, boys, 2-0? And by the way, Aidan Nesbitt, I think, has been taken off for the first time this season, but it was only with 30 seconds to go. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a big stat, isn't it? And it shows he has been far, far more consistent this year.
Yeah.
He really has.
I mean, overall, I think good day's work, I'd have to say. I mean, there was, like you say, they'd never threatened. We always looked like we were going to win the game. I mean, it'd be, if you walked away by a 0-0 draw, which they obviously came to do, you'd be raging tonight.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Josh Irwin, after the game, John McGlynn and Paul Smith, as well as a few of the players, obviously came up into the lounge. And John McGlynn, I don't know if he repeated himself for the TV, Falkirk TV interview, but he basically kind of gave the impression like they were coming for as defensive as a day as they were going to come for. And that's what they'd been preparing for all week, was that they were going to, Edinburgh were going to follow Dunfermline's example the week before and try and kind of build that up. But no, I think everything that we worked towards obviously paid off last week.
And we've got an exclusive here on Falkirk Daft, because when Ross was steaming on Saturday night, obviously John was on this podcast previously, and Ross has now got the manager's phone number. So what did you do, Ross? Read out, come on.
Right, no, listen, I'll give Josh some context here, John. So obviously, John had been on a couple of weeks back, and there was a couple of texts exchanged before and after. So there was obviously a relationship, a friendship building here, right? So I'm just giving that background, right? And I didn't just randomly drug text. And then after the game, as I mentioned, John and Paul and the players came up. And the managers never go into the hospitality lounges. And I thought that was brilliant, right? So I was a bit drunk. And I messaged them and said, look, fair play for coming into the lounge. That's brilliant. And then he messaged back. For the life of me, I can't remember what he texted back now. But it was along the lines of, right, it was a great result. Come on, we're going to do this. And then John saw, he was like, is that John McGlynn? I was like, yeah.
Jesus.
Listen, I don't want to say he's my best friend, but he's my best friend now.
We also, in our drunken escapades after the game on Saturday as well, we bumped into Falkirk's chief scout, Alan Fraser, at the bar.
I forgot about that.
And one of our friends was just accosting him, trying to find out what kind of players he's been looking at as well. So that's an interesting way. And I have to say, fact to the right comes from Ross Wayne. Now, Josh, I don't know if you know of this, but my mind was blown. That every pint glass, you can tell what date it was made. See, if you look at a pint glass, it has the year it was made. So you can tell, because we were discussing this in the pub, you know, if you've had a beer glass, like a tenant's glass that's been used for several years, it doesn't give the same pint. It's not the same pint as you do when you're, you know.
No.
So next time you're in the pub, check your glasses, folks. The year of when the pint glass is made is there. And thanks for Ross to that fact.
Do you know what was weird though, Josh, is we were in, this is probably about 9 o'clock, we're in the Wheatsheaf and somebody got around it. And there was at one point the weirdest scenario. Everyone's just looking at their glass going, I've got a 20, or I've got a 21. And then Lee Pelly, he looks nothing like the Pelly. He just turns around and went, oh, I've got a 2011. And it was just the most surreal random conversation.
I know, so there you go. And another story from the weekend, Marshall, who a guy who sat beside at the football, was shouting at John after Ola was taken off. Obviously, everyone was applauding, everyone was questioning it. Marshall shouted at John McGlynn, why are you taking him off, McGlynn? And John McGlynn turned around and gave him two bows. And he said, apparently, Ola wanted to come off. That was him dealt. So, shout out to Marshall. for that. Right, let's, talking of John McGlynn, I wonder if he'll mention Marshall in his interview. I very much doubt it, but let's hear from the manager now.
John, after a couple of defeats at the Falkirk Stadium, how nice is it to get back to winning ways today?
Very nice, very, very nice, yeah. Difficult game, you know, Edinburgh came with a game plan to frustrate and to sit deep, and we probably looked like no intention of trying to win the game, you know. We're the only team trying to win the game, and that's difficult, it really is, unless you've played the game or been in these situations. It's difficult to break down, you know. We can do that in training and set up like that, and it's very difficult to break down. We've done that this week, trying to break down a low block, and it's extremely difficult, you know. So enormous credit to our players, you know, big, big character, big personality today to come up against a team second in the league who have came here to frustrate us and to make it difficult, which is fine. You know, we've got to do, we've got to make sure we've got enough quality and move the ball quickly enough to break through. So there's nothing wrong with any opposition doing that, and it may well be that, you know, every opposition do that. We have to overcome it. Today we've showed that you can overcome it, you know, and maybe we could have scored before we scored because we still had chances in the first half. But it's very, very difficult to break that down. Really, really difficult. So today I'm delighted that we had two really, really, really good individual bits of ability. With Ola's goal and with Leon's goal. Two excellent goals, you know.
Did it surprise you? You mentioned the point rightfully, Edinburgh and any team are...
By the way, that is the shortest answer John McGlynn's done for one question. Can I just say that's 125? 125 on McGlynn watch, note that down. We'll continue, because you've actually, usually we cut him off at this point, but we'll continue with Lewis's line of question. Here we go.
More, you know, than entitled to do that, but did it surprise you when they are going so well and they were second in the league prior to kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to the last time we played Edinburgh and not long after that. You know, I know Alan Mayberry because he was at Hearts many, many years ago and I was there. He's a really, really good guy, great guy. And he came out and said that a few games after that, they had only lost to, you know, Dunfermline and ourselves, and that they would need to do something different against us. And they went, the last time they played against Dunfermline, it looked like they did something similar to that today. And they only lost with a fluky goal, may I say, in the very, very, you know, dying moments of the game. So today we had to overcome that. So I wasn't surprised, because he's actually said that they need to do something different. And when you look at what happened against Dunfermline, you can understand why they would come here today and do that. And you can understand from their point of view, if they were looking at the game last week, what Dunfermline did with regards to just come, sit in, then, you know, as I say, maybe other teams will do that. And we've got to break them down. And it's really, really difficult. It is difficult. Yeah, I felt we did it really well today.
So there you go, John McGlynn on the game sort of sums it up. You know, hopefully, I mean, hoping that we've had our learns about this low block situation. You know, Dunfermline came and did it. He's obviously, Edinburgh came to try and do it. They've probably not got as good as players as Dunfermline do, but hopefully these are situations we can learn from. So when we have the likes of Montrose or Kelty or whatever at home to come and do that, we can play around them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, John. I think... it's good that he's worked on it, and it's good that he's realised, because in hindsight, you, I think Dunfermline were always probably going to come and try and be quite tight. So that was maybe all of our frustrations that we sort of hit a brick wall against Dunfermline, because it just wasn't good enough in any sense. And it's great that the players and the management have kind of really, really looked at that. So it's time well spent, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, let's see what you guys are saying about the game on Saturday. Bill kicks us off saying, two of the best goals I've seen at the stadium. Thought Lawal was outstanding, never gave the ball away, won tackles, won headers, and looks like one of the few players in this league that can create a bit of magic. Hope it's not a one-game wonder. I'm already labelling him the giant Latipi. That is how I'm labelling him.
Stuart says, enjoy watching Lawal, offers something completely different. Can see a pass, goes by people for fun and shoots at every opportunity. We need to fit him into the 11. Bonus was Dunfermline dropping points as well. It's a shame.
They obviously got two penalties. I was assured by my fellow workmate Stephen Mill that they were definite penalties. I've not seen them yet myself.
The second one's beyond questionable. It's a free kick blasted at the wall.
Yeah. The second one was, anyway. I agree with Josh, the second one looks not convinced.
It's hard to tell by the angle of the video, but still, what can you do when it's blasted at you?
Yeah. Right. Oh, I will look at them myself. Right, okay. William says, solid workmanlike performance. Never looked in danger of losing, but still struggled to break the opposition down. Lowell and McCann were our best performance in what was an important match following last week's defeat. Yeah, it was an important match because we couldn't, you know, that was two games at the stadium that had been beaten in the bounce. So it was, it stopped that rot a wee bit, didn't it?
Mm. Yeah, needed it as well. As you said, two in the bounds. Couldn't have made it three. That wouldn't have been good. Marshall, I'm assuming it's the Marshall that we know. Highlight was Lowell, who offered something different, as you just said. Can be a man, tackle and pass the ball accurately. Not long after his goal, he made a crucial clearance in his own box as well. Early days, but he looks like the box-to-box midfielder that we've been crying out for.
Well, seeing Marshall didn't put his low light, getting tailed off by John McGlynn. Drew says, solid win. Lowell was so good. Only 5 points off now. Hard for anyone to argue the title is done. I don't know who would have argued that. Just need to go on a run now and make sure we never drop out of the top two at least.
Yeah, just before I read out the next one, John, you have went full circle in just 7 days.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, Ross.
Last week you were on suicide watch and you were convinced the league was done. So
amazing the difference of a week what it makes.
Yeah, brilliant. Matthew says, I think this could be Mr. Stewart. Got the job done, but with a few misplaced passes, Lowell was a breath of fresh air and great to see when they went to punting up the park. They stopped it straight away and continued the passing game. What's with the booing of subs when players are shattered? Do you know, it's a tough one because you don't know.
Like, there was murmurs around the game when Lowell got taken off. There was some, I did hear.
There was booing there, wasn't there?
Lowell backs up McGlynn's story in his interview saying it that does. He was tired and he couldn't track his man. Yeah, he has to come off. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Ewan, good response after last week. Donaldson was an unsung hero for me. And AFC, come on, you Bairns. Lowell was class. I'm going to put some in the squad and he shines as expected. I don't know why he hasn't had the opportunities before. Leon was class as always, getting his first goal for the club. Then Fairman getting 2 pens is annoying, but still it closes the gap.
Indeed. Grant says, lackluster, with not many chances in what was largely an uneventful first half. Second half was a lot better and 2-0 could have been 3 or 4. Had we played that way in the first half, we could have had 6, as goal difference could have been crucial come the end of the season.
It might be, you know, who knows? I mean, we're 5 points behind. I think Dunfermline, they'll draw more games because they've drawn, rather than lost, they've been drawn games, you know, when you only have 5 draws this season. So they'll drop points still, I think. But it's up to us to iron out that inconsistency. It has to stop. I mean, that Kelty slip up has to be, I mean, you can understand maybe taking a loss against Dunfermline, right? Because it's Dunfermline. But all these Kelties and Montrosies and Peterheads and quite, that needs to stop. If we want to win this league, that shit needs to stop now. Starting on Saturday against Clyde, when you just go there, bulldoze them. Get a few points up the road.
Totally.
McGlynn loves silky soccer. Lowell is silky soccer, says Fraser. This could be the start of something beautiful. I love that sentiment. Love that sentiment.
Love it.
Right. We forgot to do this last week, Ross. Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty because we were so pissed off. Falkirk Daft rated, who are we giving it to? It's going to be a choice of two, I'm reckoning.
Well, it's an easy one for me. I don't know what Josh is going to go with. I'm going to go Leon McCann. That was a special.
Oh, I was going to go Leon McCann as well. So we're both Leon McCann, right? Come on, Josh.
I was going to go with Ola.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair play.
You could get to either of them. You could. But I just felt that it just overall across the whole game, he was just making that impact. I feel McCann's second half was probably the best performance I have, but over the whole game, I just gave Ola.
I'm just getting Leon because he's been consistently just really good. I don't think we've given him Falkirk Daft rated often when he probably has deserved it. It's just our players have outshined him, but as we said, Ross, definitely, I would say, player of the season for us so far. His delivery is fantastic. Leon McCann's delivery is brilliant. See the type, he varies how he puts the ball in, you know, it could be fast, it could be deep. He got a great delivery, so yeah, I'll give it to Leon McCann. Right, Falkirk Dafty.
Josh, are you going with?
I'm going with Henderson just because they'd let the ball bounce, and there's always 2 or 3 passes where you're just like, you're just scared. when he gets the ball sometimes.
Ross.
No, listen, I think that's a good shout out. He's had a few hairy, scary moments the last three or four games, so I can understand that one. Do you know, it's a tough one for Saturday. Just because he shat the bed a bit, I'm going to say Mackay for his one-on-one, because that should have been a goal.
Yeah.
It's 0-0 at the time as well.
I'm going to go for former guest pundit Marshall, who shouted at John McGlynn and was telt that, oh, I got out. So Marshall is my Falkirk Dafty of the week. I probably would put myself in the fact that I parked in the middle of a car boot sale as well. That could probably go in as Falkirk Dafty of the week as well. But we'll go with Marshall because you don't mess with McGlynn.
No, you don't
mess with McGlynn. We know that.
Not the BFF.
No, I'm not sorry. Don't mess with Ross's BFF, of course. You'll have Ross to deal with as well if you mess with him.
I know.
Brilliant. Josh, thank you so much for coming on and being our guest pundit on Falkirk. Really, really appreciate your time.
No, cheers. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant. And if you want to be like Josh, get on the show, please drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or pop us an email at the old falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Ross, can you believe the World Cup starts this Sunday?
It feels weird.
It does feel weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels weird. We should be there, but also it's November. It's a bit odd.
I know. I used to take weeks off, like a week off during the group stages just to sit and watch football, but run up to Christmas is not happening. It's just going to be weird, isn't it? I was going to say it's cold outside, but it's hardly cold outside at the moment. It's really mild, but it's going to be a strange one. Scotland aren't there, obviously. Anyone you're supporting?
We know who I'm not supporting. I don't mind Wales. I don't mind Wales at all. I don't think they'll win it. If I was a betting man, I would say Argentina. I think this is Argentina's year.
I don't know. You see that Brazil? You see the Brazil squad, and you just go, "How is anyone beating them?" When you see the players that are in that squad,
I know it does look a good squad, to be fair, but I don't know. I've just got a feeling. I've just got a funny feeling it's going to be Argentina, but I wouldn't mind Wales doing okay. I wouldn't mind that.
Are there any Bairns connections? The only one I can think of is Kasper Schmeichel for Denmark. It's the only Bairns connection, unless there's someone else out there in the management or coaching staff somewhere. But
it's a good shout. I don't know. I'd need to go a wee bit of digging. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, buddy. Casper, probably. Definitely Casper, but can't think of anything else or anyone else that's. Because Volks didn't make the Wales.
If you spot any Bears connections, please, for the World Cup, that'd be great. Good to hear from you. Big question. We're talking about this because it's the big question this week. As we don't. Scotland out of the World Cup. We thought we'd have our very own World Cup on Falkirk Daft, which isn't really a World Cup and really probably not really a cup at all because you don't get a cup. We're talking about the best Falkirk strips. We came up with this idea on Saturday. We're going to have a World Cup of Falkirk strips, and that each week we'll get a 16, we'll get a shortlist of 16. Then each week we'll put on our Twitter the first round games until we get finalists, and we'll have votes off on our Twitter to see, work out what the best top is, until we find Falkirk's favourite strips, right? So we've got 16 nominations. We're going to get 16 nominations. We've got a sample here. You can keep them coming in. And what we'll do is we'll do the draw for the first round on next week's Falkirk Daft. And then we'll have the first round of the matches. And then we'll have the quarterfinals, and then semifinals, and then the final. And then we'll be crowned the World Cup, but not really the World Cup of Falkirk strips at the end. Hopefully in the final. That's the plan over the next couple of weeks. And it'll be coming in thick and fast over the last 24 hours. So let's find out which one of these is going in the qualifiers. Adam is coming in with the 2015-2016 home top. Now that is, I want you to name these tops, Ross. I'm just wanting you to picture, who's the first player you picture in this top? That's the blue with the gold.
The first player. Do you know who I'm always drawn to is when they were released? And it's Dave McCracken.
Dave McCracken, yeah.
That's who's in my head.
Or Big Lee in it.
Big Lee. Yep. Right.
Okay.
That was a good season, wasn't it?
Right.
That was a good season.
YB, any of the Lecoq Sportif kits for me? Is that's when I started going to the games regularly. This is my favourite school. It's the red. John R. Weir sponsor Lecoq Sportif Falkirk badge. Who jumps to your head in that red John R. Weir top?
Scott Crabb for me. Similar reasons. I remember, do you know, this was when Falkirk were, they didn't have the best commercial situation, right? And I always remember this red strip was what it was modeled by Crabb, and it was like December. It didn't come out until like December time.
Yeah,
and I think the players had their ones, but as in the shop didn't have their kits. Mm-hmm. And it was, I suppose it would have sold well for Christmas. Scott Crabb for me.
As a sleeper hit that one, right? Okay, here we go. Gareth Scott's got three for us here, right? First nomination for the 91-94 home and away tops. The Bees are home classics. With the red shoulder with a pattern around it, obviously the yellow away top, which was similar with the patterns around it. I think, right, players in those tops.
Definitely Stainrod.
Stainrod, yeah.
Home and away Hummel. That's the first sort of player that comes to mind. The yellow one, yeah, probably wee Richie Cadet for Ibrox. Because that was a special, special night.
I know.
And then the Budvar, Colin Samuel.
Oh, yes, 2002-2003 home season. The Budvar, best sponsor by far. TFG made that one. It's a bit, I know I've still got that top in the there, and it's a bit baggy and what have you, but that's the kind of style it was back then. But
see if it had a different sponsor
we've ever had.
See if it had a really weird sponsor like Bruce's Taxis or something, the strip might have not worked, but because it was a bit basic in terms of the strip, but we had a great season.
Plus, and it was the last season at Brockville as well, wasn't it?
Last season at Brockville as well.
Yeah.
And it had a cool sponsor.
No, exactly. No, what memories that strip brings back. Yeah. Just that team. That's a question for our day. Your all time Falkirk favourite team. But see that season, that team, the amount of goals we scored, Miller, Coyle, Samuel, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Stuart Taylor,
Mark, I've just bought a season. Homer has the 2016-2017 away top, which is the white with the central demolition, blue and red going down the middle of the top and the stripes. That's a cracking top. I love that top. And then the blue down the strip, the arms as well.
I thought the home and the away strips that year were really nice. It was almost like PSG.
Well, Falkirk FC News has went for the home top on that side of things as well. I immediately think of Hippo in that top.
Aye, me too. Aye, Hippo, yeah.
That's the one I immediately think of. Crunchy Initiative, we mentioned them already, but Short Corner went for the 82-83 home top, which you can see actually in the Brockville bar hanging up there as well. That's a cracker. That had no sponsor on it. Pressed nice. Right in the middle of the strip as well.
Yeah, it was classic, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's it. Wee Tam says, white Hummel shirt is my personal favourite. Best memory from the Stainrod goal at Perth. Croft says, probably biased due to being when I started going to the games, but the 05-06 tops always stick in my mind. First season back in the top flight. Class colour scheme on both home and away. Some brilliant players in the team and a badge in the middle and a different but cool touch. And that was the central demolition badge in the middle. I had the one way, the reds with the blue bits down. It's really hard to describe this in a podcast. Watch the video version, you'll see all the pictures of the strips flying up. And then finally, Tommy leads us with a Hummel home, Beezer's home top from the glory days.
The Beezer homes ones, the Hummel ones, they take some beating. And I've got a funny feeling, if I was a betting man, I reckon those ones will probably make the semis, definitely, if not the final. But I reckon
they'll make
the semis.
I've not asked you, what's your favourite folk? You're a big strip man, Ross. You collect strips, you know.
Yeah.
You're the man to go to in this. What's your favourite Falkirk strip?
Well, just one would probably be the white Hummel with the red sleeves. I just thought it was so, so cool. And the players that wore it, especially that first season, we did so well in the Premier League. So for me, the white Hummel with the red sleeves. If I was being really, really pushed for a second one, though, it was probably, remember the Beezer Home Spall shut from the season before when we won the first division. Simple, classic, Spall shirts. Really nice.
I'm amazed, and maybe it's just the age group that are voting, but the coasters, Spall tops, none of them have been put forward because they are class looking.
They were nice as well. They really were. Spall gave us some belt and shirts. I know they're not that like sexier brand now. I think they're still kicking about to an extent, but the coasters ones were nice. The pinstripe one as well.
I'm amazed. The sleeper hit for me is the 94-95 home top, which I love, with the blue different blue, the design on it, and the different blue patches. Beezer Homes over the front, collar. Yeah. Oh, what is nice. My all-time favourite is Falkirk strip. Yeah. And a late entry, by the way, comes in from Sandy, who's went for the checkered, the old blue checkered top from 96-97. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the rumour was, the reason it was checked was because George Fulston let his young daughter pick the strips. I think he must have been given templates or something by Le Coq Sportif, and his young daughter, no idea what age she was at the time, but yeah, she went with the check one. I don't know if she picked the colour scheme as well, because that was particularly brutal. Oh. But yeah, she picked the square.
See, if it was blue and white, I think it was like the Croatia top, it was blue and white rather than blue on
that
blue.
Would have been nice.
And it definitely been a lot better. Chris Waddle, obviously, that top is just, you just see Chris Waddle scoring those goals in that top, don't you?
Absolutely. No,
well, listen, lots of nominations coming in. We'll round up our 16 tops. I think we've probably got, we're just about getting there, but we're going to do the draw and do this World Cup of strips across the month of November and December, and hopefully we'll crown Falkirk's greatest strip come World Cup final time.
There we go.
This is Falkirk Daft.
No one's coming on for the Quaid podcast this week. Poor Paul, who we spoke to before, is ill. So he's not been able to get on. Get well soon, Paul. Hopefully we'll see you at the game come Saturday. But let's talk Quaid, Ross. Big draw for them at East End Park. It could have been a win if it hadn't been for two bloody penalties.
Exactly.
They've had their manager bounced there on Saturday. What do you think Jim Duffy will bring to Clyde?
Well, we know Jim. We know what he's all about from his time at Falkirk. But over the years, he's obviously faced up against Falkirk quite a few times. In recent years, more so. Dumbarton? He was with him for a long time, wasn't he? We had quite a good record against Dumbarton. Yeah. That said, it's a different squad of players. So I don't think I can just say, we'll steamroll them like we did Dumbarton. But I would be very, very, very shocked if we don't pick up the 3 points on Saturday. I know Clyde have, over the years, they've been a bit of a bogey team, but I just don't see it now. See it.
The last game at the stadium, we obviously went out flying against them, and it should have been a cricket score, and we just it's almost like we took our foot off the gas when we played against them. You know, Danny Leonard's a strange one, him leaving, and the way it was kind of worded, almost put on gardening leave, because it's almost like they couldn't afford to pay him off. I'd love to have spoke to Paul how the club are doing from a financial perspective. Moving out of Cumbernauld and moving out to Hamilton, you know, it's hard to take those fans along with you, you know, that have been brought up in Cumbernauld and watching the team.
Absolutely. They'll have lost a few, I would think, with that move. But then they've maybe gained people who weren't travelling from Glasgow to Cumbernauld. So it's maybe swings. I've not actually kept an eye on their crowd, so I don't know if they're too low or too big. But we need to go there with the same intensity that we've played against them previously. And I think if we do that, we'll pick up the 3 points, even though it's an away game. I think we've got enough about us. Look at that Queen of the South game. Let's start like that and take it for there.
Yeah, two draws, two wins for Clyde in the league this season. Only one draw in our last five, which obviously came at the weekend. They've got some good players, Clyde. They've got players there, and Jim Duffy is a good manager. That's what worries you. You know, if it hadn't been, you know, Jim taking charge of that squad, you think, and if it was still Danny Lennon, I would have fancied my chances a bit more. But, you know, look at Ross Cunningham's got 8 goals this season. Jordan Allen's got 7 goals for them this season. Ross Cunningham won, certainly. When I saw them, I thought he looked all right.
He did. He looked okay, Jordan, I think. They've got players with goals there. They definitely do. I just think, could they handle us if we start well? If we don't start well, we'll give them a chance, and I don't mean a chance as in, because we've no divine right to win every single game. But I just think, see, when we're on our game and when we start well, you can sense it, and that for me is where we need to go to Hamilton on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess from quite now, it's not about looking up the table. I mean, they're sitting on 8 points there. You know, him and them and Peterhead look like they've just been cut adrift from the rest of the league. I mean, when you even look at the league, I mean, that's Clyde and Peterhead, 7 and 8 points respectively. But, you know, then the next one up, it's the biggest gap in that league is Kelty Hearts, when you've got 9 points sitting there. And then there's then between Kelty Hearts and us, there's 10 points. Well, so I'm talking shite. There's 10 points to this Kelty Hearts, but, you know, it's you just think Clyde and Peterhead, you know, they're going to be fighting it out down there, it looks like, and they've kind of been caught adrift of anywhere. I can't see Kelty getting dragged back into that, really.
No. Not in current form. It certainly looks like those two are going to fill those bottom two positions, and that's maybe why Peterhead have thought, listen, Clyde are maybe going to get a wee bit of a bounce here. They've done this. They've made the move. Maybe that's why that's maybe kind of probe them to do likewise, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Right, okay then. Predictions for Saturday then?
I'm going to go, I don't think we'll concede on Saturday. I'm going to say another 2-0.
Another 2-0 to the Bairns. Okay.
What are you thinking?
I'll say 2-1. 2-1. I don't. Do you think he'll stick with Ola? He's got to, really, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's earned a start. And it might be that he doesn't play 90 minutes again if he's not quite there. But I think he'll start him again. I don't think. I'm thinking he might not make any other changes.
Do you think obviously we talked about the Clyde centre-halves, you know, you've still got Brian McQueen in there, Peter Grant, do you think he would be tempted, do you think he'll stick with Burrow against that kind of two?
I think he will. I think that pace, I think that could be good against Clyde on Saturday. I don't think he'll do Allegri for that reason. Allegri is a strong.
I think for a player like Allegri, that's the kind of player that Peter Grant and McQueen would like to come up against, because, you know, they rather come up against that and face pace, because we know that they're not blessed with that. Yeah. So yeah, change the midfield. Do you think Gary Oliver that keeps his place? Do you think? I mean, like you were crying out for on Saturday, Hetherington might start getting a wee nod, or McGovney.
I still think Hetherington might be a shout to help McGinn out. But every game's different, innit? I can't think of Clyde having that strong a midfield, though. So maybe it's not a game to sort of double up the sort of centre-mid position. Whereas, obviously, as we know, Dunfermline and Edinburgh, particularly, we definitely lost the midfield battle against Dunfermline. We didn't on Saturday. But I don't know if the fight for the midfield will be as strong against Clyde.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see where he starts on Saturday, and hopefully it is a Bairns win yet again.
Fingers crossed, buddy.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for tonight's Falkirk Daft. See, in podcast world, it could be tonight, it could be the morning, it could be the afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. But that's it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Subscribe, rate, review, do what you do on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. I've still not checked the reviews to see if there's any ex-players that have reviewed this. Please, if you're an ex-player, listen out there. We'd love to hear what you think of Falkirk Daft. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Falkirk Daft. You'll get all the links to everything up there. Subscribe on channel on YouTube. Subscribe, like, subscribe. Ooh, we maybe do an unboxing video. Maybe we do that. You know, like, we should do that. We should start doing unboxing videos and stuff like that. Playing like Call of Duty and all that sort of stuff. That'll maybe get our YouTube hits up. No,
it's not for me.
Right, fine. You can see Ross's fantastic collection of Falkirk strips if you watch it on the video version. Love to get sponsorship. We're not sponsored this week. This could have been your company getting lots of advertising. So if you want to get involved, I'd love to hear from you, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, or drop us a DM on the socials. On that, actually, shout out to Andy Arbuckle. We met him on Saturday in hospitality. He was on our table, great lad.
Yep.
Again, thanks to his sponsorship a couple of weeks ago. Big Andy and the team over at Arbuckle Contractors. Right, up the road then for this one, Ross. I think we'll tie a bow on it.
Yep.
Make sure that, and just a word of warning, if you are parking at the Falkirk Stadium overnight on a Saturday, be aware there is a car boot sale there. I don't know how often it's on, but there's a car boot sale there on a Sunday, so make sure you don't park in the monobot parking that's not underneath the covering. If
that was your learn. My learn is never to drunk text John McGlynn.
We've all learned something today from Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week when we look back at Clyde.
Indeed.
There we go. Oh, do your catchphrase.
Expect the unexpected, John Boy.
And that was unexpected.